Praise God. So we've been talking about, we've been in a series called Seven Steps to the Highest Kind of Faith. And we've been on step five for a while. I get that we're getting close to being done with that. But knowing the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Knowing the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that will quicken our faith, that will bring our faith up. We read in 1 John 4:4. You don't have to turn there. We've turned there a number of times. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And we've been talking about that. We've been reading scripture to the effect that, you know, in Corinthians, where it talks about that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that he actually dwells in us. That in the Old Testament, he was in a certain place. He was in the Holy of Holies, in the temple. But now he dwells in men. You know, now we call this, well, we don't even call this, you know, per se, this is like a temporary space, but, you know, especially with proper, quote-unquote, church buildings, people say, well, that's the house of God. Well, if you know what you mean by that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's where the church would meet, but there's nothing particularly special about the building other than it's been dedicated to the use of the Lord. So we do want to honor it. We do want to treat it with respect. You know, you don't misuse it. On the other hand, God's not dwelling there. God's not dwelling is in the building. He's dwelling in men. We bring God into the building. So some people get, especially in, you know, more religious circles, they get really religious about certain things with the building or about a chair or about an altar, and that's nothing but dead religion because God lives on the inside of us. You can get, you know, in a ditch on anything. But no, we brought God in with us when we walked in here. And so he dwells in us. And that's what we've been talking about. We have to know the reality of that, not just up here, but in our heart. And then in reality, in life, when we're talking about dealing with real situations, if we'll remind ourselves that God's in us, that'll make all the difference. And we ought to remind ourselves. You know, we won't be upset when anything happens because we'll know the greater one's in us. And if we know the greater one's in us, then we know that we are more than a match for anything that life can present to us, right? If you believe that, if you act on it, it'll change your perspective. We should have a confession, especially in any crisis of life. We ought to be saying, I am more than a conqueror. I am a victor because the Creator dwells in me. Think about that. The Creator dwells in me. The Creator of all this that our minds can't even really imagine how vast this is, he dwells in us. That is enough just to make your, you know, brain kind of max out right there, because we really can't comprehend that. You can't comprehend the vastness of the universe, and yet the one that created all that dwells in us. Well, if that power dwells in us, then what possibly could come against you that you aren't more than a match for? If you're going to be defeated by something in this life, that means if you really understood what you're happening or what the reality is, you would say that he's been defeated. And God's never defeated. So if he's in us and we're not overcoming, that means we're not yielding to him. We're not conscious of the fact that he's in there. So he can be in there just like he is with millions of Christians. But they don't know it. They don't act like it. So God's not going to take over and just do something in our lives. He's not like that. He's not like the devil will do that. The devil will take over people and push them. God doesn't do that. He prompts. He'll urge. He'll gently nudge you, but he's not going to push you. So he's down there all the time. You could be in a crisis and be like, oh no, I'm doomed. And all the time, if a Christian would really look on the inside, they would realize the greater one's there, and he's saying, I got this. You got to look to me, though. You got to let me help you. You got to let me help you. And if we would let him help us, then we would see a change. So we should say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a victor because the Creator dwells in me. He can put me over. He can. In this situation, he can, he's able, and he will. He can make me a success. I cannot fail. Do you realize that? If we get that attitude, I can't fail. I can't fail here. If I'm looking to him, I can't fail. What are we talking about? We're talking about knowing the reality of the fact that he dwells in us. Yeah, you can fail not believing that, but if you believe that, your faith is going to be quickened, and things happen. We receive in this realm by faith. So if your faith's quickened, you're going to receive everything you need. God is going to be on the scene. His angels will be put to work because you're obeying the word. And the Bible says that they obey the word. And so they're going to take the commands of God. They'll make things happen. The power of God will be there to help us get over any crisis of life. So he's in us. He dwells within us. And he fulfills two other roles. He is our intercessor and our guide. Let's turn quickly to John. Well, not quickly, but let's turn to John 16:13. John 16:13. And then we're going to turn to Romans 8:26. You can find both of those. John 16:13 and Romans 8:26. John 16:13 and Romans 8:26. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. You there? John 16:13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, has he come? See, Jesus is talking about what will happen. This has already happened. He will guide you, notice that, into all truth. He's a guide. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and whatever, or and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. Now you can hold your finger there. I don't know if we'll get back there right now. Go over to 8:26, Romans 8:26, and let's read there. Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he helps in our weaknesses. The Bible says he's our helper in John. He's our intercessor, he's our helper, he's our comforter. It says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We don't always know. We don't always know what we need to pray for. We don't know what's coming, but he does. He knows how to pray through you. He knows, we just read in John, it said he would show you things to come, right? He knows what's coming. You don't, but he does. So how many of you think if the one that knows what's coming is in us, we ought to take advantage of that? We ought not act like he's not there. I mean, think about it. The one who knows what's coming down in your life, he knows where you're going to be in a year. He knows where you're going to be in 5 years. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit of God. People say, what should I do in this situation? What should I do in this situation? Like one person said, the answer to 1,001 questions is be led. Be led. You cannot find every answer in somebody's book to all the things that you're going to face in life. What should I do in this situation? What should I do in that situation? I just don't know. Well, someone does know, and he dwells in us. And he knows what you need to do for your life. Do you realize in the same situation, two people in the same situation. In fact, that same situation could happen over and over in different people's lives. Let's say they're presented with a similar situation. It could happen 99 times that the right direction was left or to go over here. And in one, it was actually the best way to go was actually the opposite. Now, if you were to read just a book or get the common wisdom, said in this situation, you always do this. Well, in that situation, that may work 99 times, but in that other situation, it's dead wrong. You cannot go by statistics. How many of you know, even if the statistics are pretty high in any given area, unless it's 100%, then that means there's something. If you're talking about, 8 out of 10 people will survive something, that means 2 people won't. On the other hand, if it says 8 out of, some people say 8 out of 10 people will get a certain disease. Well, you can look at that two ways. Oh, no. There's a good chance I'm going to get that. Or you can say, hey, 2 people aren't getting it. Somebody's got to be those people. That's me. I'm not going to get that. Right? Well, if somebody told you, you pretty much, my experience, you always, if you're presented with this situation, you always do this. What do they mean? I've seen this over and over. Now, unless it's 100% of the time, all the time, you have to watch about taking something that is a natural thing and making it the way to go. We need to be led. We need to be led by God. As Christians, you cannot go on autopilot. Just be, I know the answers, I know what to do. You need to be led by the inside. You need to know what you should do and not do in situations, and how does that come? You need to be led. It said, the Bible said that he will show us things to come. Right here in Romans 8:26, it says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we as Christians, if we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, that's a different experience than just being born again. So everyone that's been born again has the greater one in them. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, is a different experience. And if you have that experience, then you can speak with other tongues. And the Bible says that we speak out mysteries. The Bible says in Romans 8:26 that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but he makes intercession for us. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Why don't you turn over there? 1 Corinthians 14:14. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians 14:14. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is fruitful. Now notice what it says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Notice that? Your spirit prays. But your understanding is unfruitful. So, when you're praying in other tongues, you're yielding to your spirit. And you can, when you have a situation that you're faced with, you can just tell the Spirit that you're expecting Him to help you. You can start praying in other tongues. Do you realize you're praying out mysteries in the Spirit? Verse 2 says that. Look down real quickly at 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Somebody said, well, I don't understand what you're saying. That's okay. You're not, if you're speaking in other tongues, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God. We're talking about your personal prayer language. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Mysteries to us, not mysteries to God. So when you're speaking in other tongues, when you're speaking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries, and your spirit is praying. Your spirit is the part of you that's connected with God. And so, you know, we're talking about being conscious of this, being conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. If we understand that he's in there, one of the ways he leads us and guides us is if we'll yield to him and pray out in other tongues, you're praying out mysteries. Now, your mind doesn't understand what you're saying, but you're still speaking out. Your spirit is praying, and you're praying the will of God for your life. Now, you don't have to understand. You don't have to see the answer right when you pray, because the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, your understanding is unfruitful. So it's all right if you don't understand what you're praying. But right on the other hand, if you look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13, right before that, it says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So on the other hand, you can, sometimes God will let you know exactly what you're praying about. Now, he's not referring to just tongues and interpretations in the church. You can pray in the Spirit and interpret your own tongues. And when you interpret what you're praying in tongues, you will know in your own language what you prayed for. This belongs to every Spirit-filled believer. Because Paul plainly stated, let him who speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So actually what the scripture is saying in 1 Corinthians 14, 13 is just as much an instruction as any other instruction in the Bible. That scripture belongs to you just like any other scripture. The Holy Spirit wants to show you what you have prayed for, and it is important and necessary to have such knowledge. If you don't receive an interpretation, you can rest in the knowledge you have prayed according to God's perfect will. So let's read these scriptures together in context. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 13. It says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So when you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, prays. When you pray in the Spirit, your understanding is unfruitful. You need to pray that you may also interpret, so that your understanding may be fruitful, so then you can understand what you're praying about. So there is this. When you pray in tongues, you can ask God to give you the interpretation. Now, you don't have to rely on that all the time. Like it says, you don't have to say, if you don't get an interpretation, and don't try to make things up, you can get the interpretation. You say, how am I going to know? It's going to come out of your spirit. It's going to be in English, just like what you would understand, but it can also be in images. And this is what I've seen so much. You can have an impression, an image, see something. I'm not talking about an open vision or anything like that. But just like this, I can illustrate something for you in words, right? That's what books are. I could give you a description and describe to you something. Like I was sharing with you guys on Sunday, we went down and saw these mansions, these historical mansions that were built around the turn of the century. I could explain to you with words what some of those rooms look like. Okay? And you would get a picture in your mind. On the other hand, I could just show you a photograph. Or better yet, I could show you a video. Now, you know the saying, picture's worth a thousand words. Well, if you can get an interpretation in words, why can't you get an interpretation just by seeing something? Is God limited? No, he's not limited like that. You can, absolutely. You can be praying in other tongues, and then you see something. I'm not talking, don't get wacky. I mean, don't think, oh, you know, there, thus saith the Lord. No, not even say it. That's, you're going to see something in the wall. No, you can just be praying in other tongues, and then it's just an impression. You can, you start to see something, or you can just in your mind's eye, or the eye of your spirit, you see what, or you get an impression of what's coming to pass. It's not even like all of a sudden it's flashing there. It's just spirit to spirit. God communicates with you, and all of a sudden it's hard to sometimes put spiritual things into words, but if he can communicate with your spirit, see, you can start getting an impression in here. And it just kind of bubbles up to your mind. So your mind is getting, your understanding is getting a glimpse because you're seeing that, you know, it's going through your brain. But it's really coming from your spirit. It's coming out of there. And your mind's getting an impression. But you can just have what I would call a glow about something. It is just kind of like, that just seems good about this. And then you could see something that I can see this the way that would work out. I tell you what, that's happened so many times. I mean, throughout my life, at different situations, how you can just see, yeah, this, it seems like it would be like this. Just different things with the church as we've gotten in different buildings and whatever, you can see things different as we've built things out or whatever. It's like it'll settle. Yeah, that's the way it ought to be. And it's like it matches up. But before that happens, it's like in the inside, you're getting an impression of what it's going to look like, but you don't know how you're going to get there. Or it's just kind of like you have this picture. And then when you see it, you're like, yep, this is exactly what I was seeing on the inside. Well, God can communicate with us that way. So we can have an interpretation. That'll help. If you put this into practice, to know, you don't necessarily have to speak it out all the time, although you can get in English. You can come back and something can come up to you in English, absolutely. But also, it can be in images. It can be in pictures. It can be in an impression. And God can get you over. He's not limited to just communicating to you through words. He can get you over something that you sense. You can see something. And it can become sharper as you pray it out. In other words, you know how if you've ever taken a photograph with anything more than just a camera that doesn't have a big lens, but if you have a bigger lens, or video where it can be blurry, right? You can have it out of focus. And if you're looking at a scene that way, it's all fuzzy and it's just not in focus, right? And you can see the general things maybe, but you're like, I just can't make it out, but I can kind of see the colors and I sort of can see the shape. But, you know, as you focus it, it becomes sharp. And the more you do it, the sharper it becomes. Well, that's just like what can happen. The more you pray something out, the clearer it becomes. It's like, so sometimes people go off half-cocked. They say, well, they get a glimpse of what they believe God is doing, but they don't get the details. So they say, okay, they get an impression that they're going to be going or doing. People do this in ministry or when they're developing, even in anything. They think, or when they're going to, maybe they're going to start a business someday or something. They think, this is where I'm going. And so rather than praying it out and saying, okay, what's the next step? It's like, well, this must be now. Why would God show it to me? It could be 20 years down the road. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
It's not now.
Yeah.
You think, well, it's got to be now. Why? Why does it have to be now? God may be showing you something. You're getting a glimpse of something that's going to come. And over time, see, people get discouraged. They'll say, well, why isn't this happening? Well, okay, but what is God telling you to do now? See, sometimes we see something, we think, well, this should happen, but then if we'll just focus on what God is telling us to do now, you'll see over time, things will get clearer, the vision will get more and more clear, and you'll walk things out, and by the time you get there, you'll actually be able to handle whatever it is. But sometimes people just get a little glimpse of something. They say, okay, we're doing that now. Until you have a witness that this is what you're supposed to do now, you don't act on certain things. So just because it can be God, and you're sensing right, you're seeing right, but that doesn't mean it's right now. Timing is very important. So you can take something that is the right thing to do and do it at the wrong time, and it's the wrong thing. It's the right thing in the future, but if you take it and do it now, it's wrong. And that's important. We got to be patient and go with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit knows the future, and the Word says He will show you things to come. We read that in John 16:13. And this isn't just to a few believers. Did you hear me? It is not like, well, He'll show, you know, these seven people on the face of the earth things to come, but everybody else. Now, I'm not saying everybody's a prophet. Not everybody walks in the prophet's ministry, things like that. But no, He said He would show us things to come. So that is a promise for us. And if we'll learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, then things that are tragic and things like that, they won't happen to us. No accident or tragedy will not slip up on us. Do you realize if the Holy Spirit knows everything and He's on the inside of us, do you think that if there were something bad going to happen to an individual, that He would warn them? If we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, He's walking, He's in you, and you're headed for something bad, does it follow that the Holy Spirit would try to warn you? Yes. Of course He would. If you're His child, would He warn you? Yes. Of course He would. But you have to listen. This right here will answer all kinds of questions. And people always say, well, why did God let that happen? God doesn't let... That's like saying God is in control of everything everybody does on the earth. And He's not. Because He would not let anybody go to hell. Ever. Well, if He'll let people to go to hell, He'll let people make wrong decisions in their lives. And yes, He will let them get in a position where they're in danger. But that's not to say He didn't warn them. You say, well, why does He let that happen to so-and-so? Again, God lets all kinds of things happen because He's not in control of everything. He's the God of the universe. He's not the God of this world, and He does not make people do things. People say, well, God should have stopped that. Why did that accident happen to so-and-so? If the person were listening, they would not be in that position. You say, how can you be so bold? How can someone believe that the God of all creation is inside of you, who says He will show you things to come, and yet He cannot keep you from getting in an accident? How is that logical? I'm going to show you things to come. I'm going to show you a house to buy, but that car is going to hit you, and sorry, I can't help you here. It does not make any sense. Does that make any sense? No. You don't think that He's on the inside? He's warning. He's speaking. If He's going to tell you, and He cares about the minute things of life, you don't think He's going to tell somebody when something they're in danger? Don't do that. He absolutely does this. He will warn you. If we'll listen, He is warning. He's saying, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't hang around with those people. It's not God's fault when people get into a mess. And people flip it right around. Well, you're saying, I just can't handle that burden. You say it's up to me? Yeah, it is up to you to hear the Lord. And it's not a hard thing. Yes? You mean if you walk closer to God, you will be more in line with His will and hear Him? Yes. Yes, you will. Do you think Paul walked more in line with the Spirit than most people? Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus walk in line with the Spirit? You say, oh, He's God. Yes, He was God, but the Bible says He emptied Himself of His mighty weight and power and glory. He walked, He grew up as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. He had to be led by the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit led Him into the wilderness. Why do you have to lead Him if He's God? Because He was operating not just as the Almighty. He's operating like you and I operate, anointed by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. So was He led in every circumstance, all the time? Well, can you imagine Jesus just like, you know, not taking things seriously and going out, well, you know, I know I'm the Son of God and everything, but I'm just going to have a little fun. I mean, after all, Christians should have a little fun going over. And, well, hey, God wants you to have fun, but He doesn't want you to shut off. Like, you know what? I'm tired of being spiritual. I'm just going to shut off for a little while. I just got to disconnect, and I'm going to go over here and do this. Well, to do some things, you have to shut off the fact. You have to ignore the fact that God is in you to do some things that people do. To go certain places. Now, this is not, again, you get into, people start saying, well, especially today, in this age, you know, well, that's condemning me. No, this is not condemning you. That's a lie, and people have bought everything. See, if Satan can't get you to stop, he tried to push you in one direction or the other. Yeah, so people get legalistic with things, but then, not everything is up to you because that's why Jesus came. On the other hand, not everything's up to God. So you get there, if you go start going in that direction, then it's called what you can call no-fault religion. Whatever happens, whatever doesn't happen, it's not my fault. It's not your fault, it's the Lord. We just don't know how He works. See, that's why people get messed up. We don't know why this person died in that car accident. God works in mysterious ways. What's that saying? What's that implying? God took this person. And if we would know, if you knew what was happening at that very moment, I guarantee you, if the person was a Christian, because of what the Word says, because of the counsel of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit was warning that person all the time, do not go there, take a different route, don't even go to work today, whatever. Absolutely. Otherwise, He's unjust. And He will, you know, He doesn't have to make it. He will make it obvious to you, but we do have to be sensitive. That's why it is important that we stay hooked up with God, that we don't start yielding to our flesh to the degree that we're not yielding to the Spirit. Now, this is by the grace of God, and you look to Him. But it is so important that if you yield to your flesh, yield to the enemy, you are putting yourself in a position where you're not yielding to Him. And that's dangerous. Now, you don't want to get legalistic with it. God is a gracious God. He's a merciful God. What we don't want to do is purposefully, and we're all probably guilty of it, but we don't want to make a practice of it, of purposefully yielding to something that we know we should not do. We know prior, and I'm going to do it anyway. Because right at that moment, if you're consciously saying, I'm going to do it, what are you doing? What are you yielding to? You're yielding to your flesh or you're yielding to the enemy. You are not yielding to Him. And if you carry that line down, you do the next thing. I don't care. I'm just mad. I'm just going to go off and I'm not yielding to anybody. Who are you listening to right now? You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. What if you go and... I don't think it's too far to imagine this happening. People tear out and go say, I don't care, I'm going off, I'm going to do this. And they tear out of the parking lot, they're not listening to anybody, and they come right out in front of the car. You don't think that's ever happened? Because they're angry, because they're yielding, they're just not even seeing clear? Could you say God took them? No, you couldn't say that. We need to yield to Him. Is that to say God can't protect you? He's merciful. And I'm telling you, it's not just a snap thing. He will put thing after thing after thing in your way to get you to stop. But we don't want to mess with it. That's my point, right? We want to yield to the Holy Spirit. And He is always leading us. He's always guiding us. It's like this. You know, if you're next to a riverbank and that is rushing, that water is going really fast, and there's a waterfall up there, you don't want to see how close you can get into the water and it not take you away. You don't want to just kind of say, well, let's see how strong I am today. I'm just going to go and dance around the river and I can probably get out though. You probably want to keep your distance and say, yeah, I see where that's going. I think I'll be right here. This is safe. Right? Now you could start walking towards it. Your better judgment, I'm just talking about naturally, is going to say we're probably far enough. If you keep doing it, your natural judgment, your self-preservation just in your own self is going to be like, dummy, stop. Right? If you keep overriding it, that's not good. Well, in the spirit, it's the same thing. If you see something, your spirit, the more sensitive we are, then we're going to be warned, you don't go there. Don't do that. And then the more we'll yield to Him, yield to the Spirit of God, the more sensitive we'll get. The problem is, it's easy to yield to the natural and yield to the flesh and not be sensitive to what the Spirit of God's saying. And the praying in other tongues, yielding to the Spirit of God, will, you're yielding to your spirit. You're yielding to the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And it is making you, whether you know it or not, more sensitive to the supernatural. Your flesh does not want to speak in other tongues. Did you know that? Your mind is not being edified when you speak in other tongues. Your spirit is active because your spirit's in contact with God. Your spirit can begin to pick things up from God when you're praying in other tongues. And so that when you yield to Him and yield to the fact that, wait, He's in me, I'm going to yield to that. I'm going to yield to the presence of God in me. You are building, you're increasing your spiritual awareness. You're looking, see, by definition, for you to pray in the Spirit, in other tongues, you have to be yielding to your spirit, which means you're not yielding to your flesh, which means you're not yielding to your mind. You're strengthening your position in being yielded to your spirit. You're putting your flesh down. You discipline yourself to pray in other tongues. Your mind does not want to be there. Your mind's going, what are we doing? So that's why you don't have to feel goosebumps when you're praying in other tongues. People get weird on that. They start thinking, woo, you know, start speaking in high voices and stuff. That does not help. It doesn't do any good. I mean, either if you're praying, you don't have to change your voice when you start praying in other tongues. You just pray. And yeah, your mind's like, what are you doing? And your flesh is like, stop now. I just want to do something else. Yeah. So if you keep doing it, you are putting your flesh down. You're putting your mind down, which means you're yielding to what? Your spirit. Exactly. It's exercise. And whatever you exercise gets what? Weaker or stronger? Stronger. Let me ask you something. When you feed something, it's going to get stronger. When you starve it, it'll get weaker. Well, when you're yielding and praying in other tongues, praying in the, you're yielding to that Spirit of God on the inside of you, you are feeding your spirit, you're yielding to your spirit, and you're telling your mind and your body, shut up, I'm not listening to you. Don't think it won't talk back to you, it will. Both of them will. They'll say, what are you doing? What are you doing? But you, the more you just put it down, then you're becoming more sensitive, whether you know it or not. And can you see the benefits of this with what we've talked about?
Yes.
As we're walking then through life, we're quicker to pick up what God is telling us. Is this valuable?
Yes.
Absolutely it's valuable, because who are we talking about? The one who can show us things to come. Does it pay to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Absolutely it does. It is vital, and it will it's just so valuable. So we want to be conscious of that. I think we'll have to pick up there next time. Praise God, though. God is so good. Thank you, Lord.